I hope my voice will hold up good this morning. I didn't even realize my throat was sore till we got singing a bit, and I was like, it's getting a little bit sore. So, but thankful to be here this morning. We may be few in number, but the Lord's presence, I believe, is here with us. Let's open with a word of prayer, and we'll get into the sermon. Father, I thank you for this blessed morning, Lord, and I thank you for your love and care for us. You're watching over us. You're providing for us. Father, I thank you for who you are, for it is truly far beyond our comprehension. Even as we talked and remembered again this morning, your infinitude and your how eternal you are. Father, I pray that you would fill our hearts and our beings this morning with a sense of awe of you and of your presence. Father, as we open your word, that you would speak to our hearts and teach us something this morning that would be blessed and a timely reminder. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we looked at who am I, and that was good for me. It was a good reminder to remember again. And it seems like no matter how long we walk this life, we need reminders again and again. Who am I? What do I bring to the table? What do I bring to this relationship? I'm the recipient in this relationship in every way. This morning I want to look at an angle, because there's so many angles, but one of the angles of who is God. And this isn't exactly a sequel or a follow-up, but kind of naturally seemed to follow in a progression after that, and what was what the Lord had brought to my attention this week. So I want to start in Jeremiah chapter 23. We're going to read a couple of verses in Jeremiah chapter 23. Just read a couple of verses there, and then we'll skip down to chapter 33. But let's start in Jeremiah chapter 23, and we'll begin with verse 5. Jeremiah here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is speaking prophetically about the coming of Christ. And he says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch." A righteous branch. "And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." The Lord our righteousness. And it's all in caps. This is his name. This is the name that God here prophetically through Jeremiah is saying that Jesus will be called, is the Lord our righteousness. Now I find it interesting, if you look down a few chapters later in Jeremiah 33, beginning in verse 14, we'll read through 14 to 16. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 14 through 16, he reiterates in similar words a lot of this same prophecy. He says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." It's a beautiful thing how God takes his identity and stamps it on us. He takes the identity of Christ, this perfect righteous branch that grows up and rules in judgment and justice and brings salvation and brings safety and peace this King of all kings, who is the Lord, our righteousness, and he takes that title, that image, and he stamps it on our hearts. And he says, now speaking of those who are saved by this King, their name will be called the Lord, our righteousness. What a beautiful picture we see here, and what a beautiful reality that God has taken it upon himself through Jesus Christ, his Son, to become our righteousness. We don't have any. Who am I? We talked last week. Who am I? I'm nothing. I have nothing. I bring nothing to this. I don't have something I can present. I don't have any claim to greatness. And even as and after he has saved me and washed me and made me new, I still bring nothing to it except to say here, the Lord is my righteousness. That is who I now am. That is my identity now, is not a person who's been saved by the Lord our righteousness, but now my very being, the very essence of who I am, is God himself. Jesus Christ is my righteousness. What a beautiful position he has placed us in, that he, the King of all kings, the God of all gods, has taken it as his title to be our righteousness, and then has placed that title on us and given us that title, that the Lord is my righteousness. It's a beautiful thing. I had come across this verse, and it was knocking around in my head, and I went to search up where it is that it says the Lord is our righteousness, and I found not only does it say that's Christ's name, it says that's my name. What a beautiful thing that he not only gives me his righteousness, but calls me by his name. He is my righteousness. And this thought, this idea is presented again and again throughout the scriptures, and I'm not going to touch on a tenth of them today, but I want to look at Psalm 4, verse 1. He says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Who does he address God as here? God of my righteousness. I don't have any. I don't have any righteousness myself. Isaiah talks about all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. My righteousness has no value. God, my righteousness. That is the only righteousness of worth and value. And I found it challenging and good this week to remember, to focus my thoughts and my heart and my mind again on, I am not called to struggle and strive to try to attain some righteousness. I am supposed to lean into the very essence and the very character of who God himself has presented himself to be through Jesus Christ as being my righteousness. We are called to a holy, righteous life, but through him. And we cannot even hope to scratch the surface or accomplish anything if I am trying to perfect and present my righteousness. My only righteousness of any value at all is whatever righteousness God imparts to me and imputes to me. Whatever he places on my account through the blood of Jesus Christ, that's the only righteousness that's true righteousness. That's the only righteousness that's actually going to affect eternity and my standing with God. My righteousness and my standing with God is not dependent on my righteousness. It's dependent on His righteousness. Thank God, because my righteousness would fall so short. No matter how long I've walked with the Lord, my righteousness will not suffice. If I am depending on what I can do and how I can walk and how righteous I can be, I will fail. I feel that desperately and miserably every day. Because you and I, if we are honest with ourselves and if we truly see who God is and who we are, we're going to be very disappointed and very depressed looking at our own righteousness, our own ability to measure up to God's standard. We don't have any. We can't measure up. We can't even get close. It's not that we climb to the top of our 10-foot ladder and then God reaches down and pulls us up. We don't even have a 10-foot ladder. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's despicable. It's disgusting. It has no value. And worse than that, it's offensive. Nobody wants it around. God doesn't want it around. It's beautiful to see how the men of God, even in the Old Testament, saw and understood this principle, God, my righteousness. Those who truly got it and were walking with Him, they realize, I can't make it. If I depend on what I can do, I think David realized this too, you know. He wasn't a perfect man by any means. God calls him a man after His own heart, and he loved the Lord. His heart was to follow God fully, thoroughly, but he failed many, many times. And if David had been counting on and relying on his righteousness, we wouldn't see him in heaven. We wouldn't meet him on the other side. David understood, I am called to live in the way that God told me to live, realizing and understanding that's not gonna make me accepted with God. And I'll never be able to do it well enough to have His acceptance. God Himself is my righteousness. Has to be. Has to be. Abraham realized this. He believed God. The Bible tells us both in the Old Testament and the New Testament that he believed God. He believed the promises that God gave of a Savior that would come and would make a way and open up this way of salvation. And it says he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. It's not that Abraham was a perfectly righteous man either. Abraham made mistakes. Abraham had failings. Abraham had sin. Abraham told his wife to lie and say that she was his sister, among how many other things that on a daily basis he struggled with and lost battles and failed. And we've already looked recently how much sin does it take to be deadly. That's right. One. Abraham, it's not like you can have a mostly righteous life and have a few mistakes. If they're not covered by the blood of Christ, you will not make it. You will be dead spiritually. You will spend eternity in hell for one mistake. And every man and woman of God, all through the ages, since creation, has found that it's impossible to not have any sin, to not have any failings, to not have any fallings. But that is not what my relationship with God and my salvation is based on. Praise God. My standing with God is based on God my righteousness. The Lord my righteousness. Otherwise, I'm lost. Hopelessly, eternally, irreparably lost. God Himself is my righteousness. And His righteousness knows no bounds and no ends and no limits. So when He takes it upon Himself to be my righteousness, it will be complete and perfect and pure. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24 through 26. Romans chapter 3, verse 24 through 26. He says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. What are we declaring? And what is God declaring? His righteousness. Not my righteousness. He's not declaring how well I'm doing at obeying His commands, at walking in His way, at having the heart after His things. Because guess what? If He declared that, it would be an abysmal declaration at best. But He's declaring His righteousness on my account. Being justified. I heard somebody say that the definition, an easy way to remember the definition of justified is it's just if I'd never sinned, just as if I'd never sinned. Being justified freely through His redemption, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, to declare His righteousness. My walking in any righteousness at all declares His righteousness. Any righteousness in my life has to come from Him, because it certainly didn't come from me. Every step I take that exemplifies the fact that Christ Jesus has justified me freely by His grace, any step that I take that shows that I am redeemed by the blood of Christ Jesus, that He has been the propitiation for my sins, that declares His righteousness. It's a megaphone shouting out to the world around us, He's righteous. He that lives in me is righteous. He that lives in me is different and pure and holy. I'm not different and pure and holy in myself, but He who lives in me is righteous and pure and holy. And it's declared, it's shouted out through this life that we are called to live by the faith and the redemption and the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. To declare, this is the purpose why we walk this way, and why He saved us, and why He redeemed us, and why we must walk in this way, to declare His righteousness, that all may see who He is. That all those around us who look on would say, the Lord is His righteousness. To declare His righteousness. that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. It is truly amazing when you realize that Christ Jesus was the temple, the altar on which this sacrifice was sacrificed. He was the sacrifice. And he was the priest, the high priest who presented that sacrifice. And he is now the one who stands and pleads that sacrifice and that blood over us. He is all of that. His righteousness. He says here, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation, a propitiation through the faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Whose sins? My sins. Jesus didn't have any sins to remit. It's my sins. God is declaring his righteousness on my account for the remission of my sins that he has washed through his blood. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17, he says, for if by one man's offense, this would be Adam, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. If you've received the gift of righteousness, is a gift something you create? Is a gift something you conjure up? Is a gift something that you had anything to do with? No, otherwise it's a payment. But the gift, meaning you didn't earn it, you didn't create it, it wasn't yours, but it's a gift. It was given to you. And because of his gift of righteousness, he says, we shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Because of his gift of righteousness, that he not only supplied once at that moment of salvation, but he continues to give that gift. He continues to hold that righteousness pure and holy in the sight of God on our account. When God opens up the books to look at my account, he sees the righteousness of Christ. He doesn't see my account as it stands physically speaking, as being full of all kinds of things that I shouldn't be full of, as being failed and frail and stumbling and weak and failing. When he opens up my account, he sees the blood of Christ, his righteousness. That's what my account now contains. And all the failings and the stumbling and the falling and the messing up just bounces off when it comes to be registered in my account. Oh, we got that covered. It comes to be registered, it's covered. And it's not registered in my account. When God opens my account and looks at it, one thing is registered in my account. Christ's righteousness. Christ's righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 through 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 through 31, he says, but of him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. This isn't just something Christ supplies, but he says this is who Christ is. He says, Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us all of these things, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, wisdom. These aren't just things he's giving us. This ties back. Not just the God who gives me righteousness, but he is my righteousness. He is made my unto me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Not just he provides those things, not just he's my source of those things, that's who he is. He is my righteousness. He is my sanctification and my redemption. That's his very essence. That's his very character. That's who he is. He is my righteousness. In response to this, I love looking at Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, where Paul says, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, he says, his desire is to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, which is from God by faith. And Paul here isn't saying that he wants the righteousness of God also. He's not saying here that he's got all the righteousness he can possibly conjure up and he wants the righteousness of God also. He says, I desire and long to be found in him, not having my righteousness. I don't want mine. Mine's worthless and offensive. It's not just that I need his also. I need to get rid of mine. I need to not have my righteousness, because my righteousness is less than useless. Not my righteousness, that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Not just also having his, but not having mine. I cannot depend on anything that I can produce. I cannot depend any on what's found inside of me, naturally speaking. I cannot depend any on my best efforts and intentions to strive to be what God wants me to be. None. My desire, Paul says, is to be found in him. Inside of him, absorbed by him, fulfilled by him, living in, through, and out from him, not having my own righteousness, not having it at all, but his righteousness. Many times we find ourselves gauging our spiritual walk, our spiritual standing, our spiritual acceptance with God, gauging it on how well I'm performing, how well I'm doing, how well have I been obeying and living the way that God wants me to live. Paul here says, don't, not my righteousness. His righteousness. Yes, I must desire to walk in holiness and righteousness before him, allowing him to live that righteousness through me, but realizing each step along the way, when I stumble and when I fall, that doesn't change his righteousness that's imputed to my account. That doesn't change my standing with God, because my standing with God is not based on my righteousness. It has nothing to do with how I performed. It has nothing to do with how much I did or didn't fail or fall or stumble. It's based on Christ's righteousness. And His never fails. His never runs out. His never runs dry. Not having my own righteousness, but which is through the faith of Christ Jesus. The righteousness which is of God, supplied by God, imputed by God, sent by God to a lost and a dying world, and to me specifically. That righteousness is Jesus Christ, the Lord, my righteousness. Let's pray. Father, this morning, my heart is full of gratitude, overwhelmed by thankfulness that You have got this all covered, that You are my sufficiency before God, that You are my righteousness. God, I pray this morning that each one of us would lean into this truth day by day, moment by moment, that we would lean into this truth that You don't just supply our righteousness, but You are the very essence and being of our righteousness. You are the very essence and being of the satisfaction of the laws and requirements of God Himself on our behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.